From the formation of your bones in your mother's womb to the length of your time here on earth, God planned it all and was personally involved in the outworking of every single detail. His guiding hand is at work from the cradle to the grave and at all points in between.
Welcome back to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. Today, Don presents part two of a message called God Over All, as he continues the series, A Satellite View of the Truth Pulpit. Last time, Don showed us that God's providence is broad, encompassing all things. It's also detailed, as evidenced in nature, the animal kingdom, and even in what seem to us to be chance events. On today's program, Don will help us see how God rules over nations. Then we'll turn to God's providence on a personal level. Finally, our teacher will wrap up with several practical conclusions. Let's join him now in the Truth Pulpit.
The weather, the animals, third subpoint here, seemingly chance events. Proverbs 16, verse 33 says this. It says that the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. The modern day equivalent of a lot would be like the rolling of the dice or the flipping of a coin. God determines what comes up in His providence. He controls details that you and I would consider insignificant. But, I mean, think about it. The whole gaming industry, the whole gambling industry, Las Vegas and Rising Sun and all those other places. People lose, get this, people lose billions of dollars in gambling each year because God directs the outcome of games of so-called chance. Matthew Henry, the great Puritan commentator, says this, and listen to this quote carefully. The divine providence orders and directs those things which to us are perfectly casual and fortuitous. Nothing comes to pass by chance, nor is an event determined by blind fortune, but everything comes to pass by the will and counsel of God. What man has neither eye nor hand in, God is intimately concerned in. End quote. Listen to that first line again. The divine providence orders and directs those things which to us are perfectly casual and fortuitous. The fact that you and I view something as too insignificant to give our attention to is not the measure by which God operates His divine providence. You must understand that, because mockers will come and talk about something really insignificant and say, you think God cares whether you turn left or right to go home? Well, yes, God is actively at work in all of that. This is the teaching of the Bible. And listen, let's step back and remember a more fundamental point, something that's just really crucial here. It is our responsibility as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to bring our minds into subjection to the teaching of Scripture. It is our responsibility to think God's thoughts after Him. We do not have the liberty to think, to assert, to act like the universe operates according to one principle when the Bible says it operates according to the principle of divine providence. And so we have a divine responsibility to take these things seriously, to appropriate them, and listen, to believe them. We do not have liberty to say the Bible is wrong, that I disagree with that. No, our blessed privilege is to think biblically. Our blessed privilege is to say, oh, the Bible says this, then that is by definition what I also want to believe. I do believe what the Bible says. That's our responsibility. To disagree with the Scripture is to call God a liar. It's an act of high-handed rebellion. You don't want to do that, do you? I don't. And I don't believe you do either. But it's hard work to think along these lines. We're talking about an unseen reality, right? And the fact that you don't always see it is not a denial of its existence. Truth is not measured by what you see. Truth is proclaimed by what the Bible says, and here it's really clear on all of these issues. We've said that God's providence is active in nature, it's active in the animal kingdom, it's active in chance events. Let's go to a fourth subpoint here. Let's go from the micro view of the roll of a dice, let's go from a micro view to the macro view and see what Scripture says about that. Because in this fourth subpoint, we're going to see that God rules over the nations. God rules over the nations. I alluded to Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Daniel chapter 2. Turn to Daniel chapter 2, just after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 2, I want you to see this with your own eyes. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Why, Daniel, are you blessing God? Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. I'll tell you why I say that. For, because, this reason, because wisdom and power belong to him. Look at this in verse 21. Colossal statement. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Look at verse 21 again. He removes kings and establishes kings. Listen, world powers, kings and presidents have their authority only because God has given it to them. He raises men up and he casts them down. If you're interested in reading about that in particular, read the books of 1 and 2 Kings. And you'll see over and over again that principle being stated. World powers, world rulers have their authority only because God has given it to them. They rise and fall at his command. So, what have we seen here? Let's back up. You can think of God's providence on a comprehensive continuum. You can think about it in the smallest of details. What the fish off the island of Guam is eating right now. God's providence. Roll of a dice, God's providence. From the micro that you don't even think about to the macro that you have no control over. And get this, at every point in between on that continuum, God is ruling over all and directing everything to accomplish his purposes. He rules over the smallest things, the biggest things, and all things in between. That is the teaching of the Bible. Listen, it is intrinsic, it is inherent in the definition of what it means to be God. God is God! God rules over all! He's not a local deity that just has a small little realm that he's taking control over and everything else is outside. God is God, and he is God over all. Do you understand that? Point number three. God's providence is personal. It is personal to you. He isn't just reigning over these big and small things in an abstract, impersonal way. He is also simultaneously exercising divine providence, perfect control over all things in your life by name. By name, beloved. Now listen, God's providence is personal. I'm going to take a really short tangent here. Over the past few weeks, we've been making the same point in terms of salvation. We said that Christ died for you by name. that the work of Christ, the intercession of Christ in heaven, his work on the cross, was for you by name, not in for a sense of generic humanity. He was doing it for you. Now, all we're saying here, we're expanding from the realm of salvation. For those of you that like the technical theological terms, we're expanding from soteriology into the totality of life, into the day-to-day nature of your existence. Oh, this is so important. God's providence is intensely, intimately personal. Psalm 139, please. Turn there with me. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 in verse 13. Familiar passage. David. We had Daniel speaking about the rule of God. Here we have David expressing it in the most personal of terms. Here's how I want you to think. What you're about to see here is simply an application of what we've already said. We've said that God's providence is broad in the broadest of terms. And if you just start to think through it, you would naturally come to what we're going to see here in verse 13. It's broad. It's over all things. It's detailed. It's in the details of things. Well, how far do those details go? They go to the hidden depths of your mother's womb. That's how far they go. Look at Psalm 139, verse 13. For you, O Lord, verse 1, O Lord, that's who he's addressing, that's who he's talking to, is Yahweh. O Lord, you've searched me and known me, verse 1. Verse 13, for you, the antecedent of you, is this Lord. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. See, you're intended to know this at a heart experiential level. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. From the formation of your bones in your mother's womb to the length of your days here on earth, Scripture teaches that God planned it all and was personally, actively involved in the outworking of every detail from the cradle to the grave and all points in between. Wow! Wow, you need to spend a few days thinking about that, rehearsing your life in light of that, beloved. Matthew 10, verse 30 says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Some with a small number, some with a bigger number. Here's the only point of all of that, beloved. That is a testament to how personal his providence is, how broad and how detailed his providence is. Nothing in your life will ever escape the active involvement of his hand. And listen, nothing in your past has escaped the involvement of his providential hand. Nothing. Because God's providence is broad, and it's detailed, and it's personal. The consequences, the implications of what we're saying here go everywhere in your life. The course of your life is not determined by the turns of nature, the rise and fall of nations. Your circumstances are not determined by chance, blind fate, astrology, or the devil himself. You are not the victim of circumstances. You are a recipient of the wise and good providence of God. You must come to that conviction if you're not already there. God is actively ruling through everything that happens, both good and bad. And that changes the way you view the world. It changes the way you view your life. It changes the way you look at the past. It changes the way you look at the future. It changes the way you look at right now. It changes everything. Now, 3 points of conclusion here. You can make this a fourth point if you want to. Conclusion. That's how it reads in my note, but that's not very homiletically impressive. What can we draw out of this? Now listen, remember, there's a whole lot more that we're going to say about this in the next couple of weeks. There's a whole lot more. Not trying to answer every difficulty or every question here today. Just getting the facts on the table so we can think about them. First conclusion is one of self-examination. One of self-examination. How are you personally related to this God who reigns over all? He has appointed only one way to find the forgiveness of your sins, and that's through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are outside of Christ today, not a Christian, don't even care about what we're talking about here today. Listen, this ought to strike fear in your heart. It ought to strike fear in your heart that you are indifferent and rebellious against a God who reigns over all and holds every detail of your life and the days of your life in the palm of His hand. How could you be indifferent to that? This brings a word of warning to those who are not Christians. And I call you to Christ if that's you. Secondly, a couple of questions. Do you enjoy a good and comfortable life? Life's gone pretty good. Listen, the doctrine of divine providence teaches you that those good things have come from the hand of God. It's not the product, ultimately, of your great skill and wisdom. Didn't happen apart from that. But God has blessed the labors of your hands to put you in that position. If that's you, what this means is that the providence of God in your life has led you to a place that you like. If that's you, then your only possible appropriate response would be one of gratitude. Oh God, I look around and I see my life and I am so grateful to you that you've ordered my circumstances in such a pleasant way. You have been so good to me. And it humbles you. Thirdly, has life brought you hardship and sadness? It's you that I most want to address. I've been in your shoes. I've been under the cloud of seeming darkness, discouraged. And when you think it through with a modicum of informed theology, you realize that the hardship that you've gone through is something that God could have prevented, at the very least. He could have prevented this, but He didn't. And now I'm caught in this place of ruin, this place of sorrow, this place of discouragement. Now what? At that point, you start to say, maybe God's not really in control. Maybe He's not really loving. Maybe He's unfair, because I sure don't like this. Either way, why should I trust Him if this is the way that life's going to work out? Listen to me carefully. Listen to me very carefully. Your sorrow and discouragement is all the more reason for you to lay hold of the doctrine of divine providence. Yes, God brought that pain into your life. But step back, beloved. Step back and think about what the Bible is saying here. Yes, God brought that pain into your life, but God's providence is your certain hope that there is divine purpose and divine meaning in your trials. It's the certainty that God is going to bring something good out of it. It is the certainty that you're not the victim of what someone else has done to you, the way that people have sinned against you in the past. You're not the recipient of unrestrained evil. God was at work in all of it. God is at work in all of it right now. According to his wisdom, according to his goodness, with the specific intent from the counsel of his will to bring glory to his name and to bring good to your life if you're a Christian. You have to step back and say, okay, there's more to this than what I see and feel right now. You take your sorrows and you put them in the context of a wise and loving providence, and all of a sudden the whole perspective has changed. Listen, what we said last week, 1 John 2:2, Christ died for you by name. The same Christ, the same God that ordered your salvation, made certain that you would belong to Christ and be with him in eternal glory forever with all of your sins forgiven, is the same God who is orchestrating the details of your personal life as well. And there is no disconnect from the love of Christ hanging on the cross to the manifestation of the love of God in the details of the providence of your life. There's no disconnect. It's the exact same loving purpose of God being worked out. And so, beloved, remember, the context of this: has life brought you hardship and sadness? In light of everything that we've said, here's what I can say to you based on the authority of God's word. Don't resent God. Seek him. Don't doubt him. Trust him. Give him time to work out and to prove the greatness of his loving purposes and the greatness of his loving providence in your life. What you're in the midst of today is not the end of the story. Right? You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know how God might turn things. Remember the life of Joseph, buried in an Egyptian jail for 2 years with no hope of release. Now, the point's not that God's going to suddenly make everything bright and happy for you. The point is that God's in control of it, and you can trust him for that. Give him time to prove the greatness of his providence. Settle it in your mind that whatever else anyone else is doing, whatever else anyone else around me says, you think vertically at this point, and you say, God, you are going to find me walking day by day, step by step, confident and trusting in you, and no earthly circumstance is going to dissuade me to the contrary. Because I believe in your providence. I believe in your goodness. I believe in your love. And one day, you will vindicate my trust in you. That's what this doctrine of divine providence does for your heart. Beloved, give him time until you are in the position where you can experientially say with the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Did you hear that? We'll come back to that word again. All things for good for those who love him. If you're a Christian, you're under the hand of a wise and benevolent divine providence. Sometimes the shadows fall over the light of that. Anchor your mind in this truth, and you find the direction and clarity that your heart's longing for.
Today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green has concluded his message, God Over All. It's part of our current series, A Satellite View of the Truth Pulpit, which is a primer of the key points Don hopes all members of Truth Community Church, and in fact you, the listener to this program, can get up to speed on in short order. If you're a longtime believer, it's a great review. So Don, to what can we look forward next in this series?
Thanks, Bill. You know, my friend, it's hard for me to pick a favorite message out of all of these series because they've all meant so much to me personally, and I've seen so much fruit in our church from the different things that we're airing in this series titled A Satellite View of the Truth Pulpit. Next time, we're going to look at the crucial question for every man who's ever lived. Who is this man? In other words, who is Jesus Christ? That is the key question for every soul that ever lives, and we're glad to be able to bring it to you next time as we continue this series. For now, I want you to know that the entire series is available for you to get for free. Bill's here to give us the web address where you can get your copy.
Just visit us at thetruthpulpit.com. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time here on The Truth Pulpit.